Hi, I'm Mike White.
And I'm Rob St. Mary.
And we're the hosts of the Projection Booth podcast.
If you haven't heard of the Projection Booth, that's okay.
But we think it's time that you have.
We've been doing this for over 3 years now.
And we think we're doing a pretty good show.
Every week we look at a different film and put it in context.
We try to bring you interviews with the people behind the films.
Or experts on a subject matter covered in the film.
We don't specialize in any one particular genre or type of film.
We try to examine every aspect of cinema.
From every corner of the globe.
Even at 3 years, we barely just scratched the surface.
But we're ready. We're ready for you to listen to us.
That's right. Now's the time to give us a shot.
Download us through our free smartphone app.
Or through Stitcher, iTunes, Geek Juice Radio, Jackalope.
Or our website.
Projection-booth.com.
We'll keep making great shows.
Now it's your turn to listen.
I'm thinking of a dark, gritty reboot of Ace and Gary. We'll get Michael Mann to revamp Ace and Gary.
That would be crazy.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From Asmacore Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now...
You have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
Too late.
Yeah, we got a head start, Tully.
Head start, Tully.
Yeah, this is a breech birth of an episode so far. But you won't hear this until a few days later.
Yeah.
Yep. What we do with the...
We just did before what will come out later.
Yeah.
Think about that, man. Right on. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Introductions.
Oh, I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
I'm Aaron. And this is the Weedsman Podcast.
Boom.
Yeah, so you just flew back in today, Chris.
Yes. Gotta love the airport. Fucking narcissism in action at the airport.
You made it here safe, though, so.
No.
This is your first trip of the year, though. This is the first one after your long winter break.
Yes, after 3 weeks of doing nothing. So, yeah, the airport.
Yeah, the airport.
Fucking, all right, here's the thing. I was thinking about this today, and it always pisses me off. I'm going to talk about it.
Airport, yes. It always pisses you off.
Yes.
Yeah, when are you happy at the airport?
Well, no, it's the way... All right, we land.
When he's asleep.
Yeah. Right. That's the truth. But all right, you land, right? And everybody jumps up. And you always got the fucking heroes in the back that are trying to fucking charge out before everybody else. Like, they're pissed off that they're in the back. So now they're going to get everybody else. I'm getting off this plane first.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I fucking do? I stand in the fucking middle of the aisle and I don't fucking move. Because you know what? We're going to get off this plane like civilized fucking people.
Right.
All right.
In a fucking
the people
order.
Who are all, everybody's going to get off in the order in which we are seated, and we're going to do it nice, and we're going to do it neat, and I don't give a fuck if you're standing behind me, sighing, and breathing heavily. I hear you, motherfucker. I hear you.
I hear... If you were on the plane with me, I'd bowl you over, man. I would bowl you over.
I'm hearing that, and I don't care.
I got two things on that. That is the airplane version of, on the freeway, what I experience a lot. People who ride my fucking ass, and then get off on the next exit, and... pass me. I'm still on the fucking freeway and they zip past me on the exit. I'm like, you know there's a stop sign like 100 feet right there. What the fuck do you need to go 75 for? But it's just to show me like, oh, you were holding me up this whole time.
Like, we're all in a hurry. We all want to get off this motherfucking plane.
I'm in the right lane because I'm stoned and I don't want
to 30 to 60 seconds so we can all act like orderly fucking adults here.
Yeah. You know what? At the grocery store today, there was this woman who had to peruse both sides of the aisle where all the prepaid cards were with her cart in the aisle, couldn't park it like 90 degrees around the corner.
Oh, man.
Left it there while this other guy was deeply interested in the ingredients of the granola bars. I waited. I was like, you know what? We're all here to shop. Sometimes I got to look at shit for a lot longer than I should need to. But fuck it. I'm just going to sit here and not get mad. But and it actually, I had to concentrate on not getting mad. But there's nothing to get mad about. This situation will not last more than 30 seconds.
But I will get mad about it. Because this brings up a good point that I thought of today.
It is ignorance, but you can't change other people. No, you can't do it.
But it's a greater point. It's that... being aware of your surroundings and other people is now becoming a lost art. People just stop their cart in the middle of the grocery aisle.
That is one of the highest.
Rather than thinking of, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to put my shit off to the side and do my thing because other people might want to get by. It's like squirrel.
That is one of the highest forms of intelligence. Is that awareness? And it's you're right. It's something that is just not practiced anymore.
That's why I get fired up when I go to the airport because I just see it all the time. Like people just have no in their own little fucking zones.
Right.
That have no idea what's happening around them. And I hate to say I think like this, but whatever. I got a microphone. I was trying to say some of this for Unregimented, but oh well.
Yeah. No. This is applicable because this is why we smoke weed so much.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say.
I knew that was going to happen.
You were talking about how you wanted a rant.
Oh, whatever.
And not apologize for it or save it for Unregimented.
I got to get back in that headspace. Where was I going?
Wait. Don't. It's gone.
Stop talking. I know. You're distracting me. I don't know. It's shit that just. Oh, I don't know. Let's just talk. It'll come back to me.
Well, we were in the middle of going on and on about how smart people are aware of their surroundings and ignorant people aren't.
Oh, okay, I got it. No, that I've had this thought and I'm kind of ashamed of it, but kind of not. Like, how do you, like, go through life without hurting yourself? Like, physically, like...
Right. Well, they do. It's just it can't happen enough times, and there's too many of them.
Like, man, when I was driving in New York over the week, you came to mind because how fired up you get when people just jump across the street and take their time. Dude, you would lose your shit in New York. It's rampant, and it's everywhere. Like, they could make money. You know, want to raise some money in New York? Sell the walk, don't walk signs. They shouldn't be there. The people do not care.
Yeah.
Fucking, I got it. Jumped out in front of my car. He walked. He clearly walked. I had a green light. He clearly walked against the don't walk. He just jumps out in front of me. I slow down so I don't hit him. I beep at him. I look at him like, what the fuck? And he looks at the sign like, what the fuck? Like, really, man?
This is a crosswalk.
Yes.
Regardless of what the sign says, this is a crosswalk.
Yeah, like, you are bold, sir.
Did he dagwood it, too? Is he just, like, kind of dragging ass, or was he, like, hopping around? Like, is he, like, kind of jogging a little bit?
No, his...
Like, I'm going to try and make it. Sorry to... It was just like,
the tone of his walk was, fuck you.
Yeah.
I will get to the end of this, across the street when I get across the street.
Yeah.
But the kind of neighborhood I was in, you...
I think my femur is worth $3 million. So go ahead and hit me.
The neighborhood I was in, you know, it's a fun
Take
neighborhood.
Your ass to court.
You know, it is a fun neighborhood when the mini mall that has the grocery store that you're going to has a security shack handing you a parking pass. That's a kind of party as this hotel near JFK. I was in Jamaica all week. There's no weed. It was cold. There was snowy. This is Jamaica, New York.
In a place named Jamaica, I find it hard to believe there's no weed there.
Yeah, you know, I got no guy in New York. I just got out there, but I was sitting there thinking, like, you know, if I really wanted to,
I'm sure you can find it
within the hour. Within the hour. But did you see that thing? That email I sent you guys from Leafly earlier this week. New York's got a measure that if it's in their Senate, that if it's passed, would be enacted immediately.
Oh, really? Decriminalization or legalization?
Legalization.
An actual legalization?
A Colorado type.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How did I miss that one?
Uh-huh. Smoking some weed?
Maybe. Actually, I haven't for the last couple of days. But, why did Jamaica come up? It was a Jamaican portion of New York.
The neighborhood's called Jamaica.
The neighborhood is actually called Jamaica.
It's like a sub-neighborhood of Queens.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's part of Queens.
Okay, so you were in Jamaica.
Yeah.
All right, that's crazy.
Queens.
Jamaica,
well,
Queens.
I had read a story today, which wasn't necessarily news to me, but I think some people would still find interesting because they think about Jamaica and marijuana are two things that go hand in hand, right?
Correct.
You think Jamaica, you think Rastafari, you think ganja.
Bob Marley.
Right? And they're actually now looking at decriminalization. It might happen within the next year.
So you finally just go to Jamaica and buy weed and not worry about getting caught?
You're
still in another country breaking the law.
They could possibly...
That's rough territory.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do that shit.
Yeah.
Although I heard they sell it to you and you get off the plane. Like, there's dudes just...
Right.
I've heard enough stories where the stories all match
I've
up.
I've seen pictures
where they're just
the
waiting for you on the runway as you're getting off the plane.
Here's my theory on that. You've got... You could try and go after all these people who are going to grow pot. And, I mean, to some of this, ganja is almost synonymous with their religion to them, to some people. I'm not saying that's that all Rastafaris are like that. But that's how sacred they hold this drug. And it's referred to even as a sacrament by some. So you're not going to you're not going to subdue that culture completely. And you could go after them, but what are you going to cause? But more strife and, you know, trying to jail a bunch of poor people and, you know, have them not be able to pay taxes anymore and not be around to actually serve the community that they want to appeal to, which is the people who are coming there for vacation. Now, there's the people with money. And how much money would you pay to get out of Jamaica if you had to be to work on Monday and your vacation is up? And they're like, well, we could keep you here for a while longer. I mean, I'm sure their charges are much more for a tourist trying to getting charged with marijuana possession than a local.
Right.
And I'm not saying they don't go after it, but as far as a priority and who your better money maker is, it's the...
Oh, you're a white tourist. There's a different...
Right.
Price structure
for
you.
It's kind of the opposite of how it would happen domestically, where they go after poor people in the U.S. because they know that poor people are going to have warrants that they can go after and tickets that are unpaid, and they can take them and pound their vehicles and get money off of the citizenry that way, instead of the rich people who are just going to, you know, get their judge uncle to get them out of the ticket anyway. Or know somebody on the force, or whatever it may be.
This is not what I was promised in the commercial.
Right.
So anyway, long way around talking about Jamaica and how they're looking at decriminalization of under 2 ounces of weed, four plants or less, and have it being completely legal for the Rastafari. Because
Rastafari. Plural.
No, Rastafari is the plural of Rastafari. It's like deer.
Deer?
Yep.
It's like sheep.
Fish. Yep. It's like that sheep that was trying to eat that cat.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the Rastafari, who some of them use as they use ganja as a sacrament, and it would be possibly, if this passes, legal for them, which at that point, everybody becomes Rastafari, right? We are all Rastafari.
Right.
Health to the yeah.
I'd be Rastafari.
I mean, if that's what it takes to be... I was doing my morning, evening, afternoon sacrament.
Get the coconut.
If you're dedicated Rastafari, you do your sacrament 4 or 5 times a day, at least.
This is jam right here, man.
But it did make me... It did make me kind of think more about, you know, when you hear about Rastafari or Rastafarians as, I guess, not a term that they care to be referred to as, there's a lot of things that we hear through the culture that we ingest, the music mostly, and somewhat in the clothing too, wearing the Rastafarian colors on the hat or jacket or whatever. We see that everywhere we look, especially going into head shops and shit.
Oh yeah.
But what does it all mean, Rob? Do you know much about the Rastafari?
I know that they go off the key principles of the earth, wind, fire, air, you know.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I've read up on that, and I actually one time was trying to build one of the actual pieces that they smoke out of.
There's a certain preferred implement.
Yeah, they use for Rastafari. They actually use an old hollowed out coconut, and they hook a hose to it and have a bowl, and that's how they smoke out of it. Yeah,
we got to get a good old fashioned coconut bong going up in here.
Yeah, you can buy them online. Actually, there's a guy that makes them professionally with clay.
What I found out is that it's not a religion per se. Even though there's a lot of religious aspects to it, it's more of a philosophy, but it is based off of the stories in the Bible. And a big part of it, I mean, this started in the 1930s in Jamaica. It stemmed from a prophecy from Marcus Garvey, who they considered, some people considered a prophet. And certainly the Rastafari consider him a prophet because he foretold the new black king in Africa that would rise, and that he would be the second coming of Jesus. And soon after,
Jesus getting around, man. He gets around, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're co-opting Jesus all over.
Soon after, Haile Selassie the first is crowned the new king of Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And the Rastafari saw that as or who would become the Rastafari, I guess, because this is the start of this philosophy. They saw that as the second coming of Jesus. Even though Haile Selassie himself didn't really buy into it, but I mean, you can't deny the rest of what's going on in the Rastafari's philosophy. I mean, even though I say that religion is a huge part of it, I could see myself easily removing religion from that and still having something to work with, because a lot of it is about just healthy living and treating the body as a temple. Kind of a reason why some Rastafari might have had issue with Snoop Dogg's recent conversion. They see it as more of just a tie to cannabis culture rather than the philosophy itself. This is certainly not someone who tends to treat his body as a temple. Tattoos, first of all, would be a big no-no.
Right.
First of all, Snoop's just trying to throw the religious thing into smoking weed so he can just now just do it everywhere.
Oh, he's cashing in on it.
He's like, all right, now it's a religious thing. Boom, I can do it everywhere because then you're persecuting me if you don't allow me to do it.
Yep.
Hey, whatever works, Snoop. Whatever works, sir.
Yeah, so there's a diet that goes around. I don't know if Snoop abides by the Ital diet, which I guess is derived from Vital. Like core ingredients, basic foods is what it seems like to me. I'm finding all this out earlier today. Actually,
oh, nice.
I was just like going off on a wormhole and Rastafari, a Google
you
wormhole.
Like a Rastafarian?
What's that?
Are you going to become a Rastafarian?
No. I just found it really interesting. So it's not vegetarianism as some people think. It's just about not having processed foods.
Like I can get down with that.
Yeah.
Right, which I've become, in that respect, much more Rastafari than I was even a year ago.
Yep, me too.
I've really reduced the amount of processed foods that I ingest.
You know, there's audio proof we've eaten Oreos and Fritos.
Oh,
and
right. Sure.
But I get you. I get you. I'm with you.
I still have Hershey's chocolate flowing through my veins, but I do. My main meals tend to be much more basic than they used to be. So yeah, the body is a temple. You keep your hair long and you keep it natural. You don't put Soul Glow in it.
Yeah.
You don't use products. No tattoos. And overall, it was really a rejection of Western society, of a society that had enslaved black people and removed them from their homeland. It was Jamaicans who believed that they, you know, were taken from their homeland in Africa. And there's a lot of ties back to Africa. You have, the Rastafari colors are assumed to be just derived from the Ethiopian flag. But they actually do stand for something as well. And there's four of them, including black. Rob's counting on his fingers.
Is it what? Yellow?
Yellow, yes. Yellow Red. Yellow stands for wealth.
Green.
Yellow stands for the wealth of Africa. Red is for the blood of the Rastafari, for to commemorate their martyrdom, fallen brothers. Hmm. Black for people, for black right. people. And green for abundant plant life in Africa.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the black is, because a lot of times you'll, like I was saying, you would see these colors on a jacket or a hat or something, and it's a it would be a black hat with the three colors. The black is actually a big part of the entire package, the four colors, not just the three.
Find similar colors on the Jamaican flag too, right? Isn't the Jamaican yeah. flag green, black, and yellow?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I think the distinction, though, like I just assumed that those colors were the Jamaican flag, and it just all tied back to Jamaica. But it really has more to do with a with an overall philosophy than a place. It just so happens that this philosophy's birth was in Jamaica.
So if it would have happened in like Iceland, it'd be the big Icelandic stoner culture.
Yeah.
No.
There we go.
Eternal Father, bless our land.
God, wow.
It's not a steel drum in there.
No.
No.
Keep us free. It's your stately anthem sounding song. On it.
It's British.
Where's my snare on the three? What? Can I get a guitar on the two and four?
He hasn't said Irie once.
Well, that, you know, that brings up another thing that I found out was the, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing this right, but Lyric is a certain dialect that they kind of invented that was an amalgamation of English and French Creole. And a big part of it was the use of the letter I, or the word I. And, you know, I and I mm-hmm. is something that you've definitely heard if you've listened to some reggae before. Yeah. And what I never knew what I and I meant. Mm. But what it comes from is they don't use pronouns like me and you and she and he. They use I for everyone. So okay. I and I is you and me, Rob.
I and I.
Like, I and I know what's going on. That doesn't mean, like, I and I only. It means we both know what's going on around here.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
And it's to reinforce the aspect that all humans are connected, that we're all the same person. Not that they're all similar people or the same. We are wow. all the same person. We're all a different version of the same person.
Right.
But we're all the same person.
This should be the Jamaican national anthem.
Yeah.
That's racist.
No, that's islandish.
It's not even
Can
from Jamaica.
Can we go
Jamaica.
A podcast without somebody shouting that out?
Get that little bucket.
I'm not calling that's for an racist. End of the racism. I'm just calling it out.
That's because we grew up around here.
I know, yeah. Right.
That's growing up in Detroit's fault.
Yep.
It's American way. It's someone else's well, fault.
It's a Detroit way.
Let's be fair. Detroit suburbs.
Yeah.
Yep.
The area. Well, it's where everybody went. Cities. Every
oh, as
census.
Soon as I got a car, yeah.
Every census, it's fallen another 250,000. They'll be down to 500,000 next census, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
In the city.
Oh.
Guys are both chicken heading. What's going on over there?
It's on.
High as hell.
Hey, you know, as the Eagles go, yeah, this is a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I generally don't care for them. And there's some
no,
songs that I just will want to, you know, if they were played on, if you left me tied to a chair with like Hotel California playing on repeat, I would find a way to puncture my eardrums.
Or stop your breathing one way or the other.
No, it'd be easier to puncture my eardrums. At least I could alleviate the pain and go on living. And and try and recall memories of better music.
I like, this is like the only Eagles song I'll admit that I like.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard this.
Or Heartache Tonight.
This is, isn't this fucking Beasties? Didn't they sample this?
Oh, yeah.
What song?
Is this,
this is a Joe Walsh penned song. That's why I like it. I mean, you just tell.
I'm trying to think. Was it the track about carjacking? What was it called?
What?
The Beastie Boys song.
Oh.
That they sampled. No, fuck the Eagles. I can't remember. It was something off of Paul's Boutique, though.
Oh, yeah. Isn't Paul's Boutique, didn't...
Oh, but just...
Isn't it like there... Doesn't it still own the record for, like, the most samples?
Yes, it still holds the record. Not even Beck can touch that shit. He's like, give me those Dust Brothers. I want to make another Paul's Boutique. And they're like, eh. Do what we can, but they were like 2,000 samples in that.
All right. This week's smoke track from
the Beast Boys.
Gentleman from Brooklyn. Area I frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever made that connection listening to this, that this was the Eagles track that they sampled for them. What are we smoking on anyway?
That.
Well, we got this Death Star OG that we are smoking on this week.
Oh, that's right. We're in the Death Star.
Yeah. This week we're going to begin our information from Leafly. But the one thing that I had a question was, you know, they have on there for the description, it says Death Star OG is a potent cross between Sour Diesel, Sensi Star, and OG Kush. And that's all they put. Now,
wait.
I mean, I think that's all that needs to be said, yeah, really. And they're like, what can we say? It mixes these three.
Right. It's such a, you know, a hybrid, I would say, almost. You know,
is that the Leafly equivalent to dropping the mic? Like, here you go.
Right. Yeah.
That's the way that's it feels, thinking, you know.
I actually pictured Darth Vader dropping a lightsaber.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't need this.
I got my OG Kush t-shirt on.
Nice.
Oh.
The hookup.
Well, Rob and I are both sporting our X-Men this week.
Yep, yeah, rocking the X-Men.
So, well, what do we know about Death Star?
Well, I can tell you...
I thought we had the plans for that thing.
Yeah, where are the plans?
That's all that we have are schematics for Death Star. We don't have an actual description.
Just a circle. A globe.
Yeah, Rob, bring up that hologram.
Yeah. We'll attack it here.
No. Go get Akbar.
But, the actual Death Star strain has a, you know, much more in-depth description, but it says that it's a potent cross between the two same, but without the OG. So I'd say that the OG is a stronger, you know, more potent of the two.
Wait, so somebody crossbred Death Star OG with something else and came up with Death Star?
Yeah, but it says
they knocked the OG off of it.
The lineage is Sour Diesel, OG Kush, and Sensi Star.
I love that Sour D.
Yep. So
I don't know if I ever had Sensei.
That's actually indica as well. So this is a hybrid indica and sativa blend, all three, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
It's seems rather potent, I would say.
It says that the
we went on a 40-minute rant about everything.
Late night TV.
Yeah. After smoking one bowl of this shit.
Yeah.
So.
No, this. This has given us a great material, and we're like just starting the show. We're like an hour and a half in.
I would say this is pretty talkative shit. This isn't like.
Can we add something on Leafly? Another bar? Awesome showness. Put the bar up.
Great podcasting pot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that would be pretty sweet if we could do that.
We should make our own strain. We'll call it Podcast.
podcast worthy.
Right, well, no, we'll have to self, we'll have to shamelessly self promote. I'll have to be the Weedsman.
Weedsman approved?
The Weedsman strain.
We can have like a star, you know, thumbs up. But yeah, they said that the top five effects are relaxed, euphoric, happy, sleepy, and uplifted.
I don't, not sleepy.
No.
I don't think it's not just the coffee that I've ingested.
We are chugging coffee.
No.
Yeah, I don't feel it at all. You know.
Whoa. Because Rob just against the mic, like slumps into it.
Hey, all right, Weedsman's, Weedsman heads, whatever you call yourselves.
What?
All 12 of you, listen. We need a stoner chick. If anybody's got podcast experience, radio experience,
yeah,
hit us up. It's pro bono, but we're building something here cool. I mean, you know, if you want to get your name out there.
That means work for boners, Rob, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Sonny Bono will put you on the payroll from the previous. It's Chaz Bono. You work for Chaz. No. But anyway.
Oh, I pass.
No, it's we're building something here. If you want to be a part of it, you had some experience maybe in radio, maybe you like podcasts, maybe you're a comedian, maybe you're funny.
Yeah.
Whatever. You're local to the Detroit area, hit us up at Weedsman420.
You match?
On Twitter.
If you like what we do and you would like to show your support for us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. It won't cost you anything extra, and when you buy something, it will help to show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings.com, daily fantasy sports leagues, no season-long commitments. You can enter free or paid contests and win your share of over $200 million in prizes. When you click through the DraftKings banner at ChristopherMedia.net, you'll get a free first-time deposit bonus when you sign up for DraftKings.com.
Okay, we ready?
Yeah, let's do the news.
All right, time for bong hits. I don't fucking remember. I'm high. The news. Do the fucking news. Just do the damn news.
Dude, it you still failed, gets me. Man. I think it's. I don't know when that's going to stop being funny. News.
I think I might.
Fail. That was a major success, I think.
You want to put a music bed under that?
Nope. Why?
No, I mean, like, in that intro.
In the intro?
Yeah, so then it can, like, fade out. Like, maybe like, one of your things you got laying around. Well, after the Morse code stops, maybe fade in. Or maybe fade in some music after he says, do the news. And fade in some music.
Just
and
maybe,
then,
like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, pow! Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, just like a music bed in general.
A sting, like you would hear on the news, though. Like, they got a little, like, segue.
Or something like that, yeah. That. All right.
All right, that's a good idea.
Okay.
I'm just going to edit in me going, da 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 da
Yep, yeah. But then...
Like Nelson Muntz when he's reading the news.
All right.
And now, news.
Our top story today.
Yes, just like that.
That's awesome.
Just like that.
Yeah, I want to do that.
News.
The news.
The biggest news on marijuana this week. Obama, he was interviewed by a trio of YouTubers. Did you see any of that footage?
Yeah, I saw a little bit on there.
Okay, did you catch when Hank Green was asking about marijuana? We got video footage of that. Here we go.
So I, sometimes people think I do, but I don't smoke pot. And it just is not for me. I think it's bad for my brain.
Yeah, look at that guy.
I don't smoke pot because I'm in favor of legalizing marijuana.
Drink a beer?
And we're in a really weird place with marijuana right now. Like, it's illegal in some places, but it's illegal everywhere, but in some places it's kind of okay.
Pause it one second.
If the state thinks it's not okay, then let's throw those people in jail. I feel like
He does make a good point, though. It's assumed that if you're for legalization of marijuana, it's because you want to smoke it. And that is not always the case.
Right.
It's generally the case, but not always the case.
Yeah, I would say.
Predominantly yeah. so, I would even imagine. Why yes. even...
Like them treesos.
This Hank Green guy is apparently for legalization because of the unfair treatment of minorities and just prosecution of the poor in general.
It reminds me of the principal from Eastbound and Down.
Yes, he does. Yes.
All right. I guess we're going to do it now, huh?
Oh, what's his name?
He also did review on Comedy Central. Yeah, yeah.
What is that guy's name?
We know what we're talking about.
Let's hear Hank's question.
Everything's doing okay.
Yeah.
How do we move forward out of this legal gray area weirdness?
Well, what you're seeing now is Colorado, Washington, through state referendum, they're experimenting with legal marijuana. The position of my administration has been that we still have federal laws that classify marijuana as a illegal substance, but we're not going to spend a lot of resources trying to turn back decisions that have been made at the state level on this issue. My suspicion is that you're going to see other states start looking at this. What I am doing at the federal level is asking my Department of Justice just to examine generally how we are treating nonviolent drug offenders. Because I think you're right. What we have done is, instead of focusing on treatment, the same way we focused, say, with tobacco, or drunk driving, or
this guy has a hard time making eye contact with the president.
We treat it as a public.
Dude, he's fucking probably shitting his pants.
I know,
right?
And I think that it's been counterproductive, and it's been devastating in a lot of minority communities. It presents the possibility, at least, of unequal application of the law, and that has to be changed. Now, the good news is that we're starting to get some interest among Republicans as well as Democrats in reforming the criminal justice system. We've been able to initiate some changes administratively. And
yeah, they're making progress on the male pill,
40 years where the crime rate and the incarceration rate went down at the same time. I hope we can continue with those trends because...
Yeah, like murder and the Detroit monorail.
Did you hear murder was down 42% in Colorado last year?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's good.
That was just trees.
Murders down. A lot of there's
crime,
a lot of statistics.
Crime
showing,
is down in general.
Well, yeah. Also, other substance abuse is down.
Yeah, because people can get
in
a hold
Colorado
of trees.
And Washington. They've actually found that. It wasn't in Colorado and Washington. They were studying states that had medicinal programs, or had decriminalization of, where they just had some more statistics to look at that weren't just, we found everybody we found with pot, we threw in jail. So
burial bombs.
They did find that there's less overdose deaths and less general substance abuse, mostly not with so much with drugs like heroin, but prescription drugs and opioids. Abuse of that type of shit is down because of not only medicinal marijuana, but definitely down in the states where it's legal.
And the feds, they don't want no part of it. They're like, hey, they said they can do it. We're not going to go after them.
Yeah, that's not necessarily breaking news, but it is reassuring news that the White House has already said that they're not going to interfere, that this is a states' rights issue.
That's nice.
Now, what's interesting was Hickenlooper, who's the...
Hickenlooper.
He's the governor? Am I having a brain fart here? Or is he actually the governor? He's the governor of Colorado? He took the opportunity to respond to Obama.
Well, me.
He is the governor, isn't he? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because we mentioned him before, because he wasn't exactly keen on the idea that marijuana had passed. He's not calling for a repeal. He understands that it was a 55-45, a clear majority that voted for Proposal 64. But he wishes that the people had not voted in. He did not want to spearhead this issue, right?
Hmm.
And his response to what Obama has been saying about marijuana is that, well, if you believe this, why don't you all save us a lot of grief and just make it legal federally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with the man.
Because it would solve so much. It would solve the banking problems in Colorado and Washington and soon to be Alaska.
Colorado's governor said the decision to legalize marijuana was a bad idea.
There's nothing. We're starting from scratch and we don't have a federal partner because, of course, it's still illegal federally.
So I think the jury's still out and we don't know what the unintended consequences are.
Hickenlooper is also advising other governors to wait a few more years before making any similar decisions.
That's why I think that decriminalization is going to happen a lot faster than legalization is, because you can look at these states. I mean, this is what, again, what part of what America is based on is you have these petri dishes of separately governed but overall umbrellaed governments that can make their own decisions based on popular vote. And people can study. That's what California's been through the history of this nation. Not the history of the nation, but since California was a state.
Right.
It exploded in population and became this place that was it was like a liberal testing ground. It still is a liberal testing ground for policy.
It's the United States' weird cousin.
Yeah. It's why Adam Carolla is constantly bitching about it, where all his tax money goes. Because that's it. I mean, they tax high. They have a lot of industry that takes in a lot of money.
They spend it on weird shit.
And they try shit out, you know? Let's make a Segway lane on our freeways. Oh, that didn't work out. Anyway, that brings up the issue also, like one of the issues that Hickenlooper said would be solved if they made this legal federally is how to handle not only the money, but the taxes that are paid. Because we are now in tax season.
Sure are.
And in Colorado and Washington, this will be the first time that these businesses are filing taxes as dispensaries and grow ops and whatnot, and all the different businesses that are sprouted up around the marijuana industry in those states.
Sure, that'll be interesting.
I wonder how that, yeah.
Yeah. So, this was, I guess what I read is that they can claim the cost of growing the marijuana, but they can't claim on their federal return the cost of distributing the marijuana, right?
Can they write off pizzas ordered?
I don't know if that's
exactly.
Can Doritos business expense,
Mountain Dew,
yeah,
business expense,
those entertaining clients, I had to get Netflix.
Yeah. I had to buy all these games on PlayStation Network.
So there was I read an article where this Denver CPA.
Holy shit, 2 hours. We still got a whole bunch of more shit to do. Sorry.
Denver CPA said without deductions for retail expense, businesses can be in the 60 to 70% tax bracket.
And, holy hell.
And at worst, could actually exceed 100%. Now, I don't know a lot about money and how this whole tax thing works.
But I know fractions.
Right.
Is this as plain as it is on the paper that I wrote it down on as I copied it off the article?
We're going to take all of it.
Not all of it. No, it's not 100%. Like, so what you pay in taxes is like 60 to 70% of what you brought in revenue from your sales. But that's based on, they're looking at the profit margin in this is, well, it's 3 to 4 times what it costs to grow is what they can sell it for.
Whoops.
Not accounting for overhead. That's super high profit margin still, even after you pay the electric bill. And I don't know where you're going to find that in any other business.
Right.
What, so, the 30% so profit think, margin?
Well, because...
Well, it depends. You need super low expenses, man.
Well, no, here's the thing. The distribution of it is all handled as cash, right? And they've even got, in Denver, there's a, at the federal office, the IRS office in Colorado, they have now a cash-only line that they set up especially for pot-related businesses, marijuana industry, because they are a cash-only business and they can't can't bank traditionally, so they don't have the same records that others would have. Which anytime it's like being a waitress. Anytime you've got like kind of a cash business that you can't trace, they just assume that you're cheating them, that you're lowballing all of your income, so they tax the fuck out of you.
Right.
Like, we would tax you 10% on all this, but since we can't really say that you brought in only $1 million, maybe it was $2 million and you only reported $1 million, we don't know, it's all cash, so we're going to tax you 40%, because that'll at least give us what we would have got if you made the $2 million that we think you made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know you're lowballing us, so we're just going to take more.
Right.
Exactly.
But, okay, so back to the numbers, so... Like, 100%, I'm thinking that, like, you would still make, that it's almost like half of what you made, right? It can't be all of what you made. You couldn't, if your entire profits went into paying taxes, then there's no way you could stay sustainable. So, and what I think it is that it's all based on, off of the cost of the grow, right? Instead of the cost of the distribution of marijuana, which is something that they don't track because it's still illegal federally, but they can still, for some reason, tax the grow-op. So what I'm guessing is that if you're taxed 100% of what you made off the grow-op, you still make way more off of the selling of it. Plus, you're probably under-reporting the fuck out of your taxes.
Right.
Anyway, there's my tax segment. Shows what I know about money. I have no idea what this means. It just sounds lousy for them. Another business, Chip Paul, is a guy who owns Palm Beach Vapors. And he is currently developing a system for distributing THC through vapor that you could ingest, like this thing that I'm holding in my hand right now, which I almost reached for my pen. Yeah. But it's a little e-cigarette thing. Now, my first thought is, too late, buddy.
Right.
Like, where have you been?
Already happening.
He owns stores. Palm Beach Vapors is a chain, or actually you can franchise it. And in states where it's legal to sell marijuana, they might have the opportunity to franchise a Palm Beach Vapors store, and as well as selling the e-liquid and the pens and all that, sell the THC oil you want to call it. Now, the difference, too, is that instead of being polypropylene glycerol, did I say that right, or am I...
Propylene glycol.
Propylene glycol. Yeah. Instead of that shit, like the shit that I'm probably smoking on now, unless they do... Does Mystery Liquid do this vegetable-based?
Vegetable, yeah, the VG.
That's right. So this is a veggie-based. So I can say, fuck you to guys who are like, you're still killing yourself.
Right.
Well, maybe, but I'm doing it at a 4 times slower rate than I was before, so it's called that progress.
You went from antifreeze fluid to vegetable
liquid. There's a big difference between crashing into a brick wall at 60 and crashing into a brick wall at 40.
Right.
Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right either, because I'm 40 this year.
Yeah.
I'm not crashing into a brick wall yet.
Nope.
So anyway, the difference, Rob, you might want to know, because I already teased you with it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
What is it?
He's using a hash-based oil. So it's supposedly, is what he's guessing, because everybody seems to be guessing on this shit, is that it's going to be healthier than the... propylene glycol? Something. Whatever the PG that they put in the shit.
Right.
But who knows? PG. I mean, we'll file this in the same slot as the skinny girl marijuana.
Yep.
Like, just whatever it's you want to call it, yeah. however you want to do it, just sell weed, fine. Everybody yeah, wants yeah. it. I don't care.
Just figure out how to do it right and sell it.
Right.
Get That's the weed into my brain.
Get it to me faster.
Get it in my bloodstream now.
Make it last longer.
But
can we just mainline it?
An interesting thing.
In my eyeball.
So no. you could get, just like you can get e-liquids in custom concentrations, right?
Right.
Like I do a 12% or a 1.2. You could customize the amount of THC that goes into it. So you could just smoke the hemp oil and right. add as much THC as you want. And according to Chip Paul, this co-founder of Palm Beach Vapors, he says that medicinal marijuana is this is his quote, a blunt force instrument, right? Which I like. I don't know if he meant the pun.
Right.
I don't think he understood it, but, you know, blunt force, yeah.
Give that man a roll.
But his point being that marijuana has been grown and you know, crossbred to increase potency, and it's gotten significantly more potent, even just since when I started smoking shit.
Mm.
And that's, you don't always need the maximum amount if you want a medicinal effect.
Right.
But still, I mean, you could just puff it once. I mean, there's always ways to control it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Although, if you just like getting stoned, then it's hard to stop.
But if smoking pot
just made me too anxious, like it does some people, but I found that it relaxed, you know, my muscles, my back or something, like it actually does for me, I would still smoke it. I would just, you know, smoke enough to relax.
Right.
And not get stoned. But fortunately, I just like getting stoned, Rob.
Yeah. So just kind of, keep smoking whatever you want.
It's kind of a win-win
want.
Over here.
And
a little bit of sports news.
Sports.
You want to hike this segment?
I got it.
To
it,
me?
Just, it takes me takes a second.
Marijuana on one. Reefer on two.
Thanks, Pink. There is an article in the Business Insider, and I want to make sure I credit where it came from, because this guy obviously did his research on this piece, and it was interesting. It was actually about marijuana's effects on athletic performance. And it referred to a Men's Health Journal interview with Clifford Druzinski. This guy is a fitness trainer, basically, and he actually does sessions with people where they ingest marijuana as part of their training, not just to relax afterwards. And depending on the sports, they found that there can be benefits. Now, anything that relies on very accurate hand-eye coordination, probably going right. to be ruled out. But endurance things, like running, or, well, I guess skiing can be pretty fast-paced.
Right.
It depends on what you're doing. Let's say cross-country skiing. Well, what they found, actually, between this and there was another article with a guy who writes for Outside Magazine. Does a lot of hiking and whatnot, I guess. What they're finding the benefits are, first of all, it acts as a bronchi... I knew I wasn't going to make it through this word. A bronchodilator, which is basically...
It's happening.
Something
that?
Like this that I'm holding here, my asthma inhaler. Something that
weed haler
relaxes the air passage and allows you to draw more air in.
Oh, oh nice. I got something that can do that for you.
Yeah. I got some more air and you can draw. But they've also seen that it could actually improve performance. Now, they did a test, actually, with weed smokers, not weed smokers, but just athletes on and off marijuana doing, like, endurance stuff, like running on treadmills and shit like that.
Okay.
They found, like, the example they used in there was the guy lasted sober 19 minutes on a treadmill at a certain incline or whatever, and lasted 30 seconds longer on marijuana. At first, I'm like... 30 right. seconds, and that's, I'm like, wait yeah. a minute, like that's a lifetime in when you're talking about those types of sports.
Right.
You know? Records are broken by fractions of seconds.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, I mean, any run, if you can cut 30 seconds off of it, even if it's a marathon, I imagine that would be an improvement.
Any sport where you have large gasps, you know?
Right.
Like swimming.
Well, in addition to, because actually the World Anti-Doping Association bans cannabis because of that fact. It allows you, it's like doping, you know, you're allowing more oxygen into your system than right. you should be able to normally, sober. So also it can lead to faster recovery afterwards. It has anti-inflammatory properties.
NFL uses that too.
And it can increase your pain threshold, which is highly important to any endurance sport.
Yeah.
Any long distance running or cross country anything, I guess. I guess I'll, there's only cross country skiing. Nobody does right?
Contact sports.
What is I don't know anything about this shit.
Yeah.
Discus? That's a sport.
I threw also, a discus.
I think I remember this coming up. The Marshawn, what's the guy who plays for the
Seattle Seahawks? Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch. You saw he's got his own strain, right?
No, I didn't hear that.
Beast mode. You got to try some of that beast mode. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can get it outside of Washington.
Probably.
You're going to have to smuggle it out of the state.
We know people.
in your asshole.
Well, that would...
You can enjoy that.
That's all you. Yeah. That's all you. No, so I guess the Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl. Is
yes,
that correct?
Sir. Yep.
Yeah.
Playing the
I do not
New
give
England
a fuck
Patriots.
About the Super Bowl this year. Which you wrong. What would happen to your boys, huh?
Hey, one half.
Way
I
to
was
show
wrong.
Up. Way to show up. Well, apparently the Patriots
the
cheated.
Deflategate. We're dealing with that.
This is the first year I now officially can I give a fuck about the Super Bowl because I want everybody to shut up about it.
Oh, see, I'm waiting to watch Seattle whoop some butt.
Wait,
I think New
Seattle
England's going to win.
Oh, New England?
New England Patriots.
I think New England's going to win. Either that
Tom
or...
Is
oh, Battle of
win.
The Coasts.
Yep.
Yeah. East versus West.
Who's the coast with the most?
West Coast.
Oh.
See, I should be an announcer, too, for sports,
isn't that
right?
Nice when he tries to do that?
Hey,
sounds like
good.
When a dog wears people clothes.
Yep. And walks around on two legs.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's like us. He's like people.
Yeah, see, dispensaries in Washington... In honor of the Seahawks going back to the Super Bowl, they're bringing back the Beast Mode, but this is Beast Mode 2 with 5% more THC than last time, Rob.
2.0.
So even though you didn't even know what Beast Mode was before and you already wanted it, as soon as I said it, you can now just skip right to Beast Mode 2.
I'd like
and
to
just
try
step
both.
Your game up.
I want to see that. I want to see that difference.
Because apparently it smacks you around like Marshawn Lynch does out on the field. Right,
Jesus.
Wasn't that what they do? They picks you up
he
by the,
runs the ball.
Picks you up by the belt
yeah,
and spins you over his head on one finger.
Yeah, that happens.
And then whips you through the fucking arm post things. The what are they called?
The goal posts.
Yeah, the goal posts.
Yeah.
Oh God!
What is this?
What is this?
Is this always horrible?
Why are you even playing this?
Why did Seattle went with like disco funk?
This is actually a rip off of a new song that just came out by Bruno Mars.
Oh
yeah,
man.
Called Uptown Funk.
Yeah, I know. This is Hawktown Funk. There's lots of white people involved
in
this.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
there is.
Really.
I think that's all there is in Seattle.
Couldn't they find somebody?
They got like a black guy.
Yeah.
Oh wait. Is like a chicken dance part of this? Are they doing some
it's
kind of...
It's the bird dance, the Seattle Seahawks.
So I was like, they're all dancing like they're at a wedding, but then I realized they were... It's not exactly choreographed, I wouldn't say. But they do seem to have certain moves that they're going for.
All right.
Okay.
Remember, the other day...
I give up.
Whoa.
No, hold on.
Hey!
Remember when I was saying, like... Is this an old song from the 80s? No, it is not. It's from right now. Remember I was saying this is in like two movies? We were having this conversation.
This is the track that's the new hot track that gets everybody pumped up.
This is Bruno Mars. Wait a
minute. Yeah, it's in like the promo for like two movies right now. Mm-hmm. So that there it is. But yeah, this sounds like a song written
in
the late 80s.
In a wedding right now, for sure. I would be like asked.
There are drunk white people dancing in my head as well as on the screen.
Yeah. To this song, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this sounds like it was a track off a Rick Astley album in 1989.
I DJed a wedding right when that Blurred Lines song came out.
Oh, yeah, I really loved it.
Okay, I'll just put every half hour, fine. Yeah. And that's what you want.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Nice.
Like, where were you? You were in the bathroom?
Oh, let me play for you again.
That's all right. Everybody else you came with wants to hear it too, fine.
Yeah, did you think it was like an Oingo Boingo song?
Oingo Boingo.
The way you described it, and you were doing some kind of horn line, and I was like, it sounded like, That sounds like a fucking Oingo Boingo.
That's what I'm saying. This sounds like late 80s fucking...
Yeah.
But this is new. Brand new.
This is like the follow-up to Word Up that Cameo put out.
He didn't sample this shit? Like...
No. Is all him.
Yeah,
we're still playing that Hawktown version.
Yeah.
there's too many different horn lines in there for that to all be sampled off of one track. Unless they just straight up did like a Every Breath You Take where they just rapped over the whole fucking song.
Yep. There it is.
All right. This week we got Django. No one changed. Just Django. It's probably, I think it's about
Rob St. Mary does.
Yes. We rhyme this and just smoke to it. I think it's about Django Reinhardt, the jazz guitar player. That was like missing a finger from like from 1920s.
Wait, what's the movie called?
The Django.
I think that's The Gunslinger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Yes. Rob will enlighten
us. What was
that?
Tell us, Rob, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium.
Rewind this and just smoke to it.
Welcome to Rewind This and Just Smoke to It. I'm your reviewer, Rob, from the Projection Booth Podcast. Well, he's a former Union soldier roaming the West alone, and behind him, he drags a coffin. What's in the box? Don't ask. This week, I'm talking about Django.
A century ago on the low hills along the border between the southern states and turbulent Mexico, a mystery man appeared. A man with a sad, impenetrable face.
Django! Django! The 1966 film from director Sergio Carbucci stars Franco Nero in the title role as a Civil War vet who pulls his coffin into town to find two rival gangs battling it out for control. A true spaghetti western in every sense of the word, Django has the feel of one of those early Clint Eastwood Fistful of Dollars type westerns, but grittier.
Who was that man? What was his secret?
It's not important. Django. And if I bothered you, will you accept my apology?
He was pitiless in revenge, quick to decide, and a master of every weapon. A man everybody would like to have seen dead.
You know, it's really something interesting when you see how Italians go about the American Western, much the same way the French took the other American art form of jazz and gave it its own spin. By recontextualizing another solidly American film form, you get new ideas and new life into something old, the Western. Django was such a success in Italy that there were dozens of rip-off sequels using the name Django in the title between the mid-1960s and the mid-1970s. But most modern audiences know the use of the name from the 2012 Quentin Tarantino homage, Django Unchained, which happens to feature a cameo by Franco Nero in a scene where he gives an understanding nod to Jamie Foxx's Django.
What's your name?
Django.
Can you spell it?
D-J-A-N-G-O. The D is silent.
I know.
So if you like what QT did with Django, you should give this a look and find out where it all began. So Django is my pick this week for Rewind This and Just Smoke to It. And until next week, I'm Rob from the Projection Booth, and you can find out more about my usual show at projection-booth.com. If you have suggestions for films that I should review, you can tweet them at the show. It's at TheWeedsman420. And as Chris, Rob, and Aaron always say, stay high.
Boy, was I wrong. First of all, it's Django, no D, idiot.
The D is silent, motherfucker.
Yeah. And yeah, you were right, he's a gunslinger. No mention of the jazz guitar player.
I keep going back and forth, too. Yeah.
On that note, I think it's about time to wrap this sucker up. I think it's time to flip this baby over and hog tie it.
Stay high.
And put your foot on it on its chest triumphantly.
Stay high.
Stay high.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing the Weedsman podcast on Facebook. And thanks for all of the new followers on Twitter at TheWeedsman420.
Thanks for the support.
You can subscribe to the Weedsman podcast on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you can find this show on Stitcher Radio. And I think we've agreed that's the way to go for Android.
It's either Stitcher or the podcast app for the Apple devices. It's the only two I use.
You can now listen to a new episode of a Christopher Media Show every day of the week. Sundays, M&M Question Everything, Monday and Thursday. You have Unregimented. Tuesday, you get the Weedsman Podcast Nugget.
The bonus nugget.
Yeah, it's a little extra. And it prepares you for the big show on Friday. Sometimes on Tuesdays, you get the Toddzilla X-Pod. On Wednesdays, you have the Oddcast with Jenna and John. You also have the Projection Booth with soon-to-be-published author Rob St. Mary. Mike White also. He has books on Amazon. Go check them out. Last year, 2014, a lot of big things for the Projection Booth. They were recognized by the AV Club.
Yeah. Top-rated podcast.
IndieWire.com. Check them out on Wednesdays. Saturday, we have the Captain's Table finishing out the week.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.